Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whoop, whoop. Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. And yes, guys, I did have to pause for half a second there to try to remember what day it was. They all kind of the same at one point or another, and that was one of those moments. And each day is about the same. I don't have my Monday Night Football to set up anything different.
I am combing through Magic Johnson's autobiography right now, and I'm really excited that, you know, while I do miss live action sports, that it is the time that I get to kind of look back at some of the moments in sports that were so important to me. And so reading, you know, Magic's book and him talking about his time at Michigan State and winning the championship just kind of reminds me of like what my childhood was like and how excited I was for him and for the game of basketball, and remembering how my friends and I used to take our shovels out to the park and shovel half a court just so we could play basketball in the winter because we just love ball so much. So I'm looking forward, Travis and Key, to the games that have yet to be played, but I'm still somewhat excited over the games I got a chance to watch.
I'll be honest. What's more than looking forward to, because that's what I am. I don't know what's beyond that. Yes.
Let's go. Let's get it. Let's get it in gear and let's go.
Absolutely. And one of the leagues that's getting ready to go, hopefully, is Major League Baseball. They have a new proposal out there that we'll talk about in just one second. Also, Michael Jordan took a stab at baseball a million years ago. Joining us right now to talk about both of those things is a former Major League Baseball general manager of both the Nats and the Reds, Jim Bowden, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you all?
We're good. Just sitting around here hoping, wishing, and praying that we get some good news about sports starting up for real, not this speculation that's happening, that we all of a sudden get some real team sports going in the next month or so. So we're sitting around waiting patiently. But until then, we had an opportunity, obviously, to follow The Last Dance. And you've been involved with Major League Baseball pretty much your entire adult life. Michael Jordan. Give me a little bit on him. Would he have been a major league player if he had stuck with baseball beyond the time frame?
No, he would not have been. Now, I was a GM for 16 years, and I was so intrigued by Michael Jordan that I personally went down to watch him play in Double A, watch him play our Chattanooga team, because I was so fascinated. Because Michael Jordan has the passion, the intellect, the intensity, the work ethic, the toughness, the winning, every single factor you want in a human being, that's what you want in baseball, that makeup guy. His athleticism off the charts, his strength, his speed, his power, all the tools that you look for. It's a dream type player that we all wanted to see. But the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a baseball. There's nothing harder than that. And it doesn't matter how athletic you are, how smart you are, how bad you want it. It's a very difficult skill that is not learned by everybody. And I went down because I was absolutely intrigued by him. I went to watch him, play a total of 5 games, and I came back and I told everyone he has no chance of playing in the big league, 0. He had very big, long levers. He would not be able to get to good velocity in on his hands. Any fastball with 95 to 100 inside, he was going to be out. He could not track a breaking ball. Now, of course, I don't know if they ever tested his depth perception, but he couldn't track it. And so there was no way he was going to hit a major league level curveball or major league level slider. He was going to swing over it. So, as much as I think he would improve and maybe hold his own and hit some home runs and steal some bases and improve the defense, the bat would never have been good enough to hit. You know, I said the same thing when I went and saw Tim Tebow in that workout there in L.A. No chance he was going to hit. No chance. And so, unfortunately, in baseball, no matter how good your tools are, and I had to learn the hard way when I was young, because I love these athletes and I love these kind of makeup guys, and I dreamed of them, because if you hit, you become a superstar. You become Ken Griffey Jr., who I traded for. You become Barry Bonds. You become Mike Trout. if you hit, you become that, right? But if you don't hit, you're not a major leaguer. And that's the reality of Michael Jordan.
Jim, so obviously Michael Jordan comes into professional baseball at 31 years old. He hadn't played since he was a 17-year-old in high school. What if we totally changed the question? Instead of had he continued at 31, what if he had come out of high school as a prospect and gone into the minor leagues? Does he make the major leagues at that point?
Yeah, I don't think so, because I don't think he was going to hit. I think that's the issue that I'm trying to get across. Really long levers, didn't track the ball extremely well, and I think even if he had started to play at 21, look, I know no one would have worked harder, no one would have tried to have learned. And again, I wasn't able to ever see a test, a depth perception test. But if I had to guess based on watching him, there was some issue there, and that's not a correctable issue. You know, when you talk about the superstars in baseball that Barry Bonds is, you know, when you're talking about 20/10 eyesight with great depth perception, they're picking up the ball right out of the pitcher's hands. They're being able to see the spin. They're being able to track balls at ridiculous levels, and that's a kind of a trait that you're born with, that you either have or you don't have. Not really something teachable, although obviously in that field there are certainly ways to get someone better, but not to get someone better to the level of being able to hit in the big league. So, you know, I think both of those issues would have been there, to be honest with you. I think the one player that would have been successful had he played baseball only and started at a young age as Deion Sanders. I think he would have hit, and I think he would have been a superstar. He did play for me in Cincinnati, and if he had just committed full-time to baseball, you'd be talking about him like you talk about Tim Raines and Ricky Henderson.
You didn't say that on the scouting report about me, though. What you said was that I had all the ability to make it happen. The one thing that I struggled with was tracking the ball in the outfield.
You're talking about Deion?
No, me, Keyshawn.
Oh, you. Okay. Yeah.
See, it's so out of left field. Don't feel compelled that you have to answer that question.
No, Keyshawn, it's okay. I can make it about you because I do like it. You know, one of the things that football players, you know, you're trained to wait for the ball differently than you do in baseball, and you track it differently. You track it like a football player. If that's the only issue, that's correctable. Deion went through that. And he kind of reacted to the ball like it was a punt return. And it took him a while to figure out the jump, the angle that you have to go. Angles are teachable. First step, being able to know the exact direction right off the bat is. If it's a depth perception problem in the outfield, you know, a lot of times you'll see, I don't know if you remember an outfield named Lastig Millage with the Mets, but you'd watch him in the outfield, or Roberto Kelly's another name. I had both those players. They couldn't get a good first jump in a right angle because they just couldn't see it off the bat. They couldn't read it off the bat. And when they came to the plate, they struggled against breaking balls. They were still good enough to hit Major League Baseball because they could hit fastballs and they could foul off some of the breaking balls so they could survive. So there's obviously different extremes. But if the only case is the way, you know, trouble reading it, you have to find out, is this a depth perception problem or is this just something you need to learn how to approach it?
Jim, why put him in double A if it was going to not amount to anything outside of some PR?
Because Michael wanted to do this, and it's Michael Jordan. Michael wanted to do it. Yeah, he gets to do it. If Kobe Bryant wanted to play baseball and called me, Kobe Bryant, and he wanted to go to double A, Kobe Bryant would be in double A. Thank you very much. You know, those kind of superstar players, and you don't know for sure if he's going to hit or not. You have to watch it. You have to give him an opportunity. Imagine putting him right in double A. There's not a lot of human beings that could have gone right into double A for that matter. 31 years old, he walked right into double A and, you know, somewhat held his own, you know. That's remarkable. That's the kind of athlete that he was. But, you know, truth be known, he was a double A because he's Michael Jordan and nothing to do with his talent or abilities. Mm.
Who's going to win the PR war that's going to beginning to bubble up between Major League Baseball owners and the players' union?
That's a great question. Why don't they keep the negotiations quiet and not talk about money? And that would help. You know, the public, when the unemployment rate is now getting to depression levels, people are losing their jobs. People are asked to take major pay cuts. And you're going to sit there and argue about how much billionaires and millionaires are going to make. It just doesn't play with the public. So be quiet. Figure out the best way to get the finances done, which they will do, but don't talk about it. You know, to spend more time talking about the universal DH, starting the 11th inning with a man at second, the fact we're going to have a regional schedule, the fact we're going to open July the 4th, and we're going to send the fireworks off, and baseball will be back. That's what they need to talk about. And when you're having a negotiation like this, keep it behind closed doors. Don't leak it. You leak it, we're going to run with it. We're going to make it a story, and everyone's going to blow it out of proportion. Everyone be patient, be calm. In 2 weeks, they'll have a deal. That's how it works. It's like any negotiation, though. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants more money. It's big business. We all get it. They will make a deal. They're not going to let this baseball season go. They know they have a responsibility to show up for the fans, and they will, and they'll end up with a deal that everybody's happy with.
Jim Bowden joining us here on the morning show on the Sprint People's Hotline. Jim, kind of project, obviously, the season that we're going to get, hopefully, in 2020 is going to be different than everything we've seen previously. But go beyond that. Go to 2021 and beyond. Are we going to see any of the proposals or any of the pieces of the proposal, like you just mentioned, the universal DH, regional play? Do you think that's going to become a regular part of Major League Baseball once we're past the pandemic and we go, quote unquote, back to normal?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question. Part of the reason they're putting some of these things in is to test it, see if it works, and then implement it. They've been talking about the universal DH for some time. I was told it was going to go in place in 2021 anyway. We weren't expecting it to go, but why not put it in this year when you're going to change the schedule? You can't make American League pitchers hit more than what they were going to in interleague games only. And so they put the universal DH in now, and then it stays. Baseball has been dying for a geographical realignment. It doesn't make any sense the way the schedule is now. When you have you have five teams in the state of California where you guys are, five teams. Plus, you got Seattle, Colorado, Arizona, all. You need to create regional games along with divisional games. Doesn't mean you're still not going to have, you know, East Coast, West Coast. Of course, you're going to have it. But you need to do it more proportionally. It makes more sense for travel, makes more sense economically. And so, yeah, these things are going to happen. Nobody likes watching 19-inning games. Nobody likes it anymore. It's 2020. It takes too long. The ballparks are empty, and position players are pitching. Start the 11th inning with a man at second. They did it in the World Baseball Classic. They did it in the Arizona Fall League. It worked. People will get used to it like they did instant replay. Don't worry about it. The game needs to move forward, just like the NFL does, just like the NBA does. Baseball always takes too long for change, and I think they're now in an era where they understand that. Fans want this game to go faster. They want it to be more effective. They want it to be more fun, and I think baseball understands that now.
Real quick, what about Justin Turner's idea for this season only of ending games, you know, that goes beyond 10 innings with a home run derby? Would that be fun?
I mean, it'd be more fun in my backyard playing wiffle ball with my kids. I mean, it's just not practical. I mean, if you're going to do that, then what are you going to do? You're going to build a roster with the two guys you're going to want to use that hit BP power really well, and you're going to put them on your roster to have them take BP in a home run derby next innings. I think it's a fun idea. I'm a big Justin Turner fan. I love what he brings to the game, but that particular idea is a little bit out there for me.
Who's the best player in Major League Baseball, real quick, before we let
Mike Trout.
You go?
Okay. Mike Trout.
Yeah, it's easy. That's an easy one, right? Is there a close second?
I know you want me to say Mookie Betts. I love Mookie Betts. He's in the
Been
conversation.
Yep. Been saying.
But Mike Trout's the best player in the sport. That's where I'll go. That's where I'll stay. Sorry.
See, I don't believe that, but that's me.
Yeah, well, you can believe it or not. Jim Bowden, former general manager of the Reds and the Washington Nats. Jim, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Keith, who's the best player in baseball? Is it Mookie in your world?
Man, I don't believe in the hype. I think they all pretty equal. Mookie and Trout are pretty close. Yeah. I do. I think they both pretty close. I think they're pretty. Bryce Harper's right there too. They're all kind of.
Mookie, you at least were on some firm ground.
No, they're all. It depends, man. It's always this. He's the best. Man, it's the flavor of the month, man. What you like?
Flavor of the decade, perhaps, because he's been the best player for the better part of 10 years. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the things that Jim Bowden said. Plus, the Rams are upset about one particular part of their schedule. We'll tell you what that is. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. But before that, let's take a look at the roads with Karen Kay.
All right, Travis. And by the way, it's definitely Mike Trout. Through Riverside, the 91 eastbound at the 215 and the 60, it's a crash. It's blocking that transition to the 215 south. And through Mid-City, it's a stalled car blocking the second lane from the left. This is going to be the 10 westbound right before Crenshaw Boulevard. That's causing some slowing from Normandy. This report sponsored by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get a local expert and help finding the best coverage for you. And because they live in your community, you can always count on them to be there when you need them most. Plus, when you bundle home and auto, you can save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? I'm Karen Kate, 710 ESPN.
All right, I want to get to the Rams schedule in a second, but just very quickly, kind of finishing off the idea that we were talking about with Jim Bowden a second ago, I really do think, put the 2020 season kind of in its own little bubble, because what we get around the 4th of July, fingers crossed, hopefully we have baseball by then, is going to be different because of circumstances. But going beyond that, going to the next season, the 2021 season and beyond, I really do think you're going to see some different changes because of what we're going through right now. They're going to find some stuff that they really like that really works, and it's going to stick, namely DH and regional play.
It should, though. DH and regional play, that should stick. The DH, to me, I never felt that even years ago, I never felt that the pitchers, it was just like a wasted three outs, right? I mean, three strikes or whatever. Because most pitchers get up there, they just chop at it because their craft is pitching. You know, every now and then you get a Fernando, you might get an Orr Hershiser, Bobby Welch, you know, and that's pretty much it. Other than that, majority of the dudes that step up to the plate swinging at air. Including you, Travis.
No, I couldn't. No. The one thing you've never heard me say is that I can hit. I can't hit. And I was one of those guys that was thankful there was a DH in high school, never mind college and beyond.
I like all conversations regarding how can we make the game shorter, whether it's shorter within the 9 innings of play themselves or obviously if it goes in extra innings. How can we get this more streamlined to where the country is today? I've said it once and I'll say it 1,000 times more. This America's pastime romanticism we have about the sport needs to die because it's killing the sport. We're no longer hanging out in a park with a picnic basket and the family for 6 hours. We're just not doing that. We don't have a pastime. Americans have 3 jobs. So they need to create a new dynamic with the sport so that it can fit as close to a 2-hour window for television as possible, or it's going to die a slow death.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I don't think it's going to die a slow death. I do agree with you that it needs to be sped up. And look, here's a sentence I never thought I'd say. They need to take something from girls softball and apply it to Major League Baseball. And that is the idea of what Jim said a minute ago. After 9 innings, and he said the 11th inning, I'd do it in the 10th inning. After a 9-inning game is over, put a runner on second base to start the 10th inning, and let's go. Let's end this game. They do it in softball. He mentioned the World Baseball Classic and some other things. They've been doing it in high school softball for years. End the game, because anything that goes beyond 9 innings is just silly.
Well, listen, I understand that you don't think it's going to go a slow death, but right now people are trying to download Quibi, which allows you to watch content in like, what, 15 minutes or less?
No, I get that. Look,
we're getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And for our generation, Travis, yeah, for sure. But for like our kids' generation, when they're our age, they're not going to – I mean, it's hard for me to see them investing 4 to 5 hours for baseball.
Not 5, not 4, but if they can get it to under 3, I think they're in fine shape. I think they'll get there. And like to your point about Quibi and short form, there's also a demand on long form. We see podcasts that are at 2 hours long that people consume. I mean, we're going to find what we like. The death of baseball has been talked about for 50 years. It's still here. It's still a multi-billion-dollar industry. It's not going anywhere. Let's go to this. The Rams, there's a rumor out there that the Rams are frustrated with a part of their upcoming schedule, the 2020 schedule. And the frustration is this, that we know that they play the Patriots on a Thursday night. Before that, the Rams are in Arizona playing the Cardinals. That before the Patriots play in L.A. at SoFi Stadium against the Rams on a Thursday, They're in LA against the Chargers at SoFi Stadium. In other words, they don't have to travel if they're going to be in LA and the Rams are going to be on the road coming back. They don't think that that's fair, reportedly. Key, is that a legitimate complaint?
We're going too many miles.
Play football, man. You worried about the miles. It ain't, okay, so I'm traveling. Okay, so what? What does that do? You're in the air. You're on the ground. Well, you're not at home. You're still practicing. You're still having meetings. You're still doing everything you're supposed to do. I don't understand that. It has nothing to do with you winning or losing a football game.
Even on a short week?
It has nothing to do with you winning or losing a game.
But wait, Key, why do you always make such an important point to talk about how you like your routine and your comforts and sleeping in your bed, if at the end of the day, none of this really matters?
If just because you like your comforts of sleeping in your bed and being at home, it doesn't affect the outcome of a game. When you step between the white lines, that's all that matters. Your preparation, your film study. Just because you at home, it's dudes that stay at home 24 hours, 7 days a week and can't play dead in a cowboy movie. Doesn't mean anything.
I firmly disagree with you.
Now I'm going to take the athlete approach. Have you ever traveled across the country and played a game?
No, but I've traveled across the country.
Okay, then be quiet then.
Have I traveled across the country and have I worked? Do I know the difference between...
Well, you traveled across the country and worked, but you've been out all damn night when you were trying to work.
Do I know the difference between having a good night's sleep and a poor night's sleep?
Well, you would have a good night's sleep if you would have a good night's sleep if you wasn't hanging out at the bars all night.
Do I know the difference between my eating schedule? Do I know the difference between feeling tired and not feeling tired? You don't have to play professional sports to realize that.
Well, we're talking about professional sports. We're not talking about professional germ spreading.
You don't have to play professional sports to know what happens to the human body when you travel so much.
It does not affect them. Either they're going to win or they're going to lose, LZ.
That the Patriots will be in L.A. for the better part of a week because they come out to play the Chargers. Presumably, they're going to stay here and then play again on Thursday night against the Rams. Here's why I come down more on your side, Key, in this particular one. If the Rams were in, say, New York to play the Giants and had to come back and you spent 6 hours in the air, okay, maybe there's something to it. But Phoenix, I mean, that's a 50-minute flight. I don't understand why that's a problem at all. That's nothing.
No, I agree with that.
It's something to complain about is all it is, man. They're going to play two games on the East Coast back-to-back. Is those East Coast games going to be any – so if they win those games against the Bills – is it the Bills and the Eagles?
The Bills and the Eagles. Right.
Yeah. If they win those games, then what? Then what?
Then they won those winning streak.
Oh, then it's just they won those games. Okay. But if they lose to the Patriots, it's because they was tired.
It is funny to be looking that far ahead at it and thinking that there might be a problem. I mean, that's what, week 11?
Stop. Deep into the season. They it's something to talk about. It's something for them to complain about. Man, we didn't get a fair shot. All right.
The morning show snake draft. Television mothers. That's coming up next.
Stay out of the bars, LZ.
710 ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, so it is another day, another snake draft for us, and this one is Best Television Mothers. And before we figure out the order that we're going to go in, Raj, I need you to kind of lay out some ground rules. Are we talking about, like, being the best mom? Are we talking about funniest, most attractive? What are we going for here?
Well, guys, it can be a blend of them all. I mean, LZ might like some of the standards and morals a mother presents, but then you, Travis, you look for different features on TV mothers, I've noticed. So it can be however you guys want. We'll let the people decide because they're going to see the mothers in a picture in the name of the show, and they're going to decide for themselves.
Feel good about this.
It's okay. Hey, they had kids, so it's okay. But the order this time, we always switch it up. This time, it's been a while. Keyshawn will be first. Travis, you'll be in the middle, so it'll be a little like a little Oreo sandwich. And then LZ with the snake draft in the back.
It's a snake draft.
That's right. To start things off, Keyshawn, you are first. Where you going? Who you got?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to take Felicia Rashad. Is that still okay. her name?
Yeah. LZ? That is her name. That is her okay. name.
I'm still going. I'm going to take Felicia Rashad from The Cosby Show. Not All only right. was she a great mother, but she was a pretty young lady. I mean, she still is a pretty woman, but she was, you know, she was pretty. And she was yes. a nice mom. She cooked. She took care of business. You know, all of those sort of things. So I'm going to take her.
Okay. So I always had the hair did perfectly feathered.
Always. Nice Everything was right. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Travis, that brings us to you. And I'm really interested to see where you're going here.
Well,
one of the more anticipated picks.
Well, this one is kind of more about being a great mother than anything else. So I'll put it okay. to you that way. And not that she wasn't very attractive when she was on the show, because she was. It's a little bit dated, but she was always there. She was always making sure that everything was taken care of. And she is kind of the quintessential TV mom that kind of set this whole thing going about 30, 40 years ago. I'm going to go with Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady from The Brady Bunch.
Okay. Yeah, I can see both of those there. All right. Now, a lot of people, that might be America's mom if you had to choose. I mean, everyone
That's
watched
right.
The Brady Bunch. I don't care what age, race, you all watch The Brady Bunch. Okay, Florence Henderson, God bless the dead. Is she no longer with us?
No, she checked out.
Okay, all right. LZ, you follow that up there.
All right. Oh, am I the snake part?
Oh. Yes, you know what this is.
You're it's a snake time. Draft.
That's right. right.
Okay, so my first pick is going to be Sophia from The Golden Girls.
Oh, okay, all right. Now, which one is that? Explain to people. Who the...
Sophia is the eldest mom. She's Dorothy's yes. mother. Okay. She's the king of the one-liners and, mm-hmm. you know, really kind of made that machine go.
All right. Okay. Now, it is a snake draft. So, if you got double up here, what are you going in your second pick?
It's a snake draft.
And for my second pick, I'm going to go with Florida Evans from Good See? Times.
Now, you knew who I was talking about during a break, right?
I'm going to go with Florida. Again, you know, some little bit on the gray side. Great with the one-liners, but I like yes. the way she held it down when her husband died. Oh, I was like, that's a down-ass mama right there.
That's right. That's right. Michael Jordan gangs and stuff like that. You know it was bad when Michael joined the gang. Well, go ahead, Travis. So who are you taking?
All right. This one, if I went old school with my Mrs. Brady pick, this is decidedly new school. This is somebody that had a television show up until just a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to go with Sofia Vergara from Modern Family.
Now Travis coming with it now.
There we go.
Yeah. She's a two-time mother on that show. She was a good wife to Jay. She was a good mom to both the kids. And I don't think I need to add anything else about why Sofia Vergara is a very good pick.
Oh, see, I mean, good pick.
Many different elements to this judging. Many different criteria to judging these. So that is one. I know what you're going at there. All right, Keyshawn, that brings us to you when you're first. So you know what that means. You got to.
It's a snake draft.
That's right. You got two picks, my friend.
Yeah, so I wouldn't call it conservative, right? I mean, it's just she was big time as far as the TV moms go in Claire Huxtable. But we need a little snack, crackle, pop, I would think, right? We need a little rock star. We yeah. need a little just, you know, let the hair down, you know, Ooh. Have a cocktail or two and figure it out. This
Roseanne.
Was this. Oh, gosh. I didn't say get in the back of a pickup truck. I said have a little snack, crackle, pop. Right. You know, Katie Sagal, is it Sagal from Married with Children?
Sagal.
From Married with Children. Yeah. She was a partier, right? I mean, she was, you know, had the red strawberry hair, you know, you know, all of this sort of thing. And I think her name on the show was Peggy. So I kind of like that one, right? Is that a good one, or is that a little bit of a reach?
No, that's a great one.
No, that's a great one.
Okay,
it was on my list.
Because she's, you know, she gets a little bit of, but then you always need to be able to laugh.
Okay.
And have some fun and be like, man, she's stupid, but she was cute to me. I love Lucille Ball.
Mm-hmm. Wait, was she a mom?
Yeah, she had little Ricky.
Oh, I don't remember. That show was horrible. I never watched it. But okay, go ahead.
I agree, Raj.
See, I love the show, though.
Yeah, me too.
Did you like it, Jorge? Jorge, are you there?
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you like the show?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was on a 10.
Man, KTTV.
It's still on a 10.
Oh,
it's still on a 10. I didn't even know that. KTTV, right. Channel 11. So those are mine right there.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So I have one more. That brings us to Travis. He's in the middle. He's the Oreo cookie. What do you got there for your third pick?
I'm going to kind of have a little bit of an eclectic pick here. I got an old school. I've got a new school. And this one is... an animated mother. I'm going to take Marge Simpson, number three.
Ooh, because, like that. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Way to go.
I'm going to go Marge Simpson there because she puts up with all of Homer's nonsense. She puts up with all the kids' nonsense and always seems to kind of be dealing with it with a smile on her face and barely suppressed rage. So I'm going to take Marge Simpson with my third pick.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. You be careful when you Google the Marge Simpson animated stuff. But go ahead, LG, I'll bring this to you.
All right, so do I get one pick or two here? I can't remember.
Well, you know what this is.
It's a snake draft.
Okay, so you get right, two.
All right, okay. So I'm going to go with one of the baddest-ass moms in TV history. And the reason why she was such a bad-ass mom is because she was married to one of the badass men on TV, Carmela Soprano.
Carmela
Soprano held it down. Held it down.
Yeah.
When they came for her man, she was like, hold the hell up. Hold up.
You do know that she tried to kill him a few times, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why she's bad. That's why she's a badass man. Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, Travis. All right. The relationships are complicated.
I guess
all right.
So.
That's your first one. And you know what this is because you're third?
It's a snake draft.
Yeah. Right. So this is your final pick here. What do you got, buddy?
It's my final pick, and I've been trying to figure out, okay, do I go for the culture? Do I go for the sexy? Do I go for the anger? Or do I go for the funny?
All right.
I've decided to go for the funny.
Oh.
And so I'm going to go with the TV mom from Black-ish.
Ah!
You stole
Rainbow. Rainbow Johnson.
To the
bone. You stole it. You stole it. You took
to
my
the
pick.
Board.
Ah!
Rain to the bow.
How did I know? See, that's how the draft happens when you select the guy that somebody wants. Jeez.
It's always a sneaker.
Need to trade out of this pick. I'll give you my pick, Travis, for two in the future.
Let's discuss.
I'll make a trade with you, Key, if you want to.
Well, you can't make trades after the picks are taken. That's it. It's a done deal here. So that brings us to the middle of the Oreo cookie. Travis, this is your final pick. Where are you going, man?
I'm going to go back to the other way that I have old school, I have new school, and I have animated. And this is kind of a little bit of a deep dive, but this is a sports mother as well. And she just kind of checks all the boxes on all the categories here. I'm going to go with Connie Britton, who played Tammy Taylor on Friday Night Lights.
Good job, right. Travis. Good job. Yeah.
So I'll take Tammy Taylor with my last pick.
That's a good job.
Thank you, one here. LZ approves. LZ approves. And finally, our final pick, Mrs. Irrelevant, Keyshawn. This is the final pick for you. I know Black-ish got stolen from you. Where are you going with your last pick?
It's a snake draft.
He didn't have a plan B, y'all.
He's going to be drinking.
I'm trying to figure out.
See what else you can do.
If she didn't really do a whole lot. At the end of the day, we all watch Happy Days. And she really
did.
Mrs. C is the ping pong of TV mothers.
She kinda,
don't do it,
you know,
King.
She kind of was just there. Hey, LZ, let me pick who I want to pick.
Okay. All right,
because there's a crew of people out there that like my choices that will vote for me across. Other than New York and L.A.
Need to know, Keith.
There are people in the middle of the country that listen to us that will vote for me. Mrs. C.
I need to point something out. Hold on real quick. Katie Sagal, Lucille Ball, and Mrs. C. You got a little redhead thing going here, Keith.
No, I'm not picking. I got – look, if it's that, I got my fix. Don't worry about that. I handled that one. That was taken early on in the draft. Don't even worry about that. But I like Mrs. C because she held down the family, the Fonz, you know, Mr. Arthur, all of those sort of things work. But Mrs. C, happy days, that's mine. I understand what you're saying, LZ.
But I need to understand, there are
people outside of New York and L.A. that listen to our show that like me, and they're going to vote for me.
I just need to know how you went from Blackish to Whitish. That's what I need to know. You were going to go with the white mom from Blackish, and you then drafted, you did a 180.
You don't look at color. You look at best available.
Not using that draft term. All right, Judo, so wrap it up.
You're looking
here
at best available, and she can play multiple positions if need be.
All right. Well, I'll follow that up. LZ, of course, we didn't get to this, but you did win the last one. What was it? Video games, right?
Video games, sir. Yes,
video
sir.
Video games, snake draft. So LZ is now in the lead with 3 victories, Travis and Key with 2. So this could be pivotal. He could double up on you guys, or one of you guys could tie him. So, of course, go to social media at ESPN Los Angeles on the Twitters and the Insta. I guess only Twitter is where we can vote. And check it out and vote for your favorite. Back to you, Travis.
Here's who we have. Key's 4 choices are Felicia Rashad from The Cosby Show, Katie Sagal from Married with Children, Lucille Ball and Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days. LZ's picks are Sophia from The Golden Girls, Florida from Good Times, Carmela Soprano, and Rainbow Johnson from Blackish. And my 4 choices are Mrs. Brady from The Brady Bunch, of course, Sophia Vergara from Modern Family, Marge Simpson, and Tammy Taylor from Friday Night Lights, played by the lovely and talented Connie Britton. So those are the 4 choices right there. What do you mean, wow?
Ooh, I won. You started
describing out the lovely and talented and gorgeous and sexy.
Well,
okay, Travis, calm down now.
All true. Who is going to win the MVP next year, and who's the long shot to grab the NFL's top award? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
So far, Travis, early votes are in. I am leading by 32%.
What's it? Give us the numbers.
I am at 32%. You are at 21, and LZ is at 9.
That's really
early reports.
That doesn't add up to 100.
Yeah, and
they're still coming in.
You gotta carry the one, dog. Carry the one.
They still coming in.
She hasn't even posted it yet. What are you talking about?
I know, fool.
Now, the people with the redhead fetishes are way in earlier because you have a certain type of team.
Man, you don't like Luke. You didn't like Lucille Ball.
I did not. Your other 2
really?
Redheaded picks, I'm 100% good with. Lucille Ball did not work for me on any level at all.
Really?
Plus, really?
That's disappointing.
That's interesting.
Why?
That's very disappointing.
Because I respect your taste. So now we get, you know, checking on my own test. But 2, Lucille Ball had one of the most iconic comedic scenes in television history.
You talking about eating the candies?
Eating the candies, man. That's one of the most iconic
the
comedic
belt.
Scenes.
Yes, off the conveyor
of
belt.
All time.
And she wasn't you. And she was a looker.
No, I don't know if I'd go that far. She wasn't unattractive. She's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her. But I don't know.
I wonder how she got little Ricky, because her and Ricky
they weren't allowed to sleep in the same bed.
Yeah.
Well, it was the 50s. Yeah. You know, it wasn't all right.
You know, when the lights go down, people. You know how I go when the lights go down. People tend to crawl on the floor behind the couch and get to the other room.
You know, it's so funny. There's are you guys familiar with the show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Yes.
So Travis, you've seen the scenes where the parents are having have sex, and then she catches them separating the beds back.
Yes.
You know, I almost went with Leave It to Beaver, Mom.
June
but
Cleaver?
I figured that was too. That was
too
that
much.
Was 19,
man, she's
too
weak.
That was
so
1940
weak.
Or something.
She was so
kinda,
weak.
I didn't think anybody would.
Yeah,
think about that one.
But you can't tell me she didn't have a crush on Eddie Haskell. I'm sorry. She let him. He was walking up into the house whenever he wanted, got away with stuff whenever she wanted. She was like, okay, Eddie. Okay.
LZ. What was it? Did you all remember the Partridge Family?
Yeah. Okay, that was.
Come on, get happy.
What was her name? I'm blanking on her name. That wouldn't have been a bad pick. That's kind of like Mrs. Brady. The Partridge Mom and the Brady Mom were very similar.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know. I didn't think the show had enough umph in this day and age to our listeners, so I kind of passed on that one.
Before we move on to our NFL MVP discussion, let's just say that Rachel Brosnahan from the Mrs. Maisel show, LZ, I'm a fan. I think she's a very lovely and talented performer.
She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous and she's funny, and that show is amazing.
Right, Lawrence could have been a good one too, though.
Mama's Family.
Yeah,
that's that show. Hard pass on Mama's Family.
Really, I love that show.
I watched Mama's Family too. That was funny.
Man, I used to sit and watch that religiously with my mom.
Oh my God, Mama's Family was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. You had the hot dumb wife, the dumb son. You know, you had the very vicious, aunt that would stop by and say these cutting remarks before she left back. Mama's Family was like the...
But Mama wasn't funny. That's the problem. And the show was about her. Mama with the rolled down pantyhose was not funny.
Well, she was the straight man in the situation. Just like Jerry Seinfeld was the straight man on Seinfeld. All the people around him were doing the crazy stuff. He played it straight. Mama
did not speak. But with Katie Siegel, I hit one out the park on that one.
That's a good choice.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. You mentioned Seinfeld a second ago there, LZ. I almost took Estelle Costanza just because of the craziness factor. She was on my list, but she was further down than my other ones.
And then I'm looking for some free agents, so I think I'm gonna go with Bobby Ewing's wife out of Dallas.
Oh, Sue Ellen.
Yeah.
No.
That's not Sue Ellen. Was the mom?
He said Bobby Ewing.
Bobby
that was Priscilla, not Priscilla Presley. What was her name?
No, that was
You got it. You got it. You're close, Travis.
It's Priscilla something.
Yeah, it's close. But that's one that I signed as an undrafted free agent that'll make the team.
Victoria Principal.
Victoria Principal.
I didn't have to draft her because I could sign her in free agency. That's just, it's one of those deals. She's going to turn out to be a star, and then we're going to extend her contract 3 years later.
I do like that you're thinking about the whole roster and not just your starters.
That's what you got to think of when you build a team.
He going 53 deep on him. Go 53 deep, King. Go 53 deep.
Yeah, but you got Mama and some other ones in there that are some really soft.
Hey,
picks,
you don't so hit I don't on know. Every one, but I think I'm doing good on this one. I'm going to get the Bill Polian votes, okay? I'm going to get the votes that I'm looking for.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think if we left anybody else off the list that we should put in there.
I mean, there's a lot of great moms. There's Peter Griffin's.
Lois.
Lois.
Well, Keith could have rounded out his redhead team with Lois Griffin.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's a whole bunch of black moms that were on my short list that I eventually decided to pass on. A lot of animated moms. There are a lot of TV drama moms that we didn't pick.
I probably took the number one. I think I took the number one overall pick in terms of Felicia Rashad, though.
That's a solid pick.
That one is the top two. That's the top two for sure. That's going to give me a lot of points.
Well, she was successful. She was bright. She was funny. She was beautiful. She had a whole bunch of kids that she had locked down pretty well. She had it figured out.
Yeah,
for sure.
But Mrs. C is also on your squad, so she's gonna she's gonna drag.
Well,
down
I needed a kicker.
He got Tim Tebow. He got a Tim Tebow on his team.
Yeah, he did. Michael Wilbon will join us next. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN.